Yeah, let's make it weird.
Dan was telling us about shitting his pants last week. Yeah. And then Tom started to tell us about him shitting his pants. And then everyone started talking about shitting their pants.
Our drummer, Mosey, woke up this morning and he goes, "Who's shitting my pants?"
Yeah. I'm ready to go. But we've started on shit, so it can only get better.
Willkommen zu Nachts um halb eins. Dem Musikpodcast direkt aus St. Pauli. Hier sprechen Nora Gantenbrink und Jan Persch mit KünstlerInnen über Musik, Geschichten und Popkultur. Herzlich willkommen in den German Wahnsinn Studios aus dem Herzen St. Paulis. These are Taurus and Tyne, two bands from the UK who visited us during Reeperbahn Festival. Today, they discuss the phenomenon of Taylor Swift and hypercapitalism in the music industry with us, and what this has to do with the death of club culture. And we also talk about the manic work on their sound. So have fun with Tyne and Taurus.
Thanks for having us. We're Taurus, and this is called The Overload. Right, here we go.
Willkommen zu Nachts um halb eins, dem Musikpodcast von German Wahnsinn. Wir hören heute gleich zwei Bands, Taurus und Tyne. Und bevor wir beginnen, wenn ihr mögt, bewertet uns doch auf iTunes, Spotify etc. und schreibt uns eine Mail. nachts@germanwahnsinn.de. Mein Name ist Jan Persch und jetzt sage ich Hallo zu unseren Gästen, zu Matt von Tane und zu Elfie von Taurus. Hi guys.
Hello.
Nice to have you. This is a premiere for us. We've never had two guys from two bands.
I think it's a first for us too.
Yeah, we've never done an interview with two bands.
We're all in it together.
You're on the same label.
Yes.
Shared a room last night.
We got intimate last night in the hotel room.
Okay. Yeah,
especially your guitarist. Okay.
You and Tom.
How was that? How was the hotel?
It was fine.
Yeah.
And we got like... Six smelly dudes in one room.
Yeah. Oh,
lots
wow.
Lots of farting.
Attractive, and, yeah.
It was interesting smells this morning.
Yeah. Definitely. How do you like St. Pauli?
It's great. Love it. Yeah, we played here last year and, back here this year.
Yeah, so did we. I mean, we played 2 years ago, same venue, Head Crash that we're doing tonight. Really nice place.
So we got to remind the listeners who are just hearing voice. So this is Alfie just talking.
Yes, hello.
Yes. I mean, your band has been compared to Black Sabbath and to Soundgarden and to others, and I can see why. And your band, Matt, Tane, has been compared to Nine Inch Nails.
Sick.
I know bands hate comparisons, so maybe we'll stop after that.
No, that's cool. I love when people compare it to Nine Inch Nails. It's a very humbling thing.
I mean, and even your logo is a bit Nine Inch Nails. No?
It's maybe a little bit,
Come on.
Yeah, maybe.
You can't fool me there.
No comments. It wasn't intentional, but it was definitely, I think, subliminally in the brain. I got to change it now.
Yeah. See, I mean, I of course I know Nine Inch Nails. I never really got that deep into them. Did you get really deep? Did you?
Oh, yeah, obsessive.
Yeah.
Massively, from start to finish. It's like, it's the double record album. Can't put it down. Put on track one all the way through to track 40 or whatever.
And Tane, and you guys, I mean, you guys have such a special sound. I mean, the guitars have this almost thin sounding, like this, I don't really have words to describe it, but then the thins, it's a really interesting sound. I mean, I guess it took you some time to develop.
Yeah, I think with that, like the guitars, we've always been like gear nerds, and one of the bands that is not relevant to Tane at all, but a band that I'm sure the Taurus even love, Shellac, those guys or have those electric guitar company and Travis Bean aluminum neck kind of stuff. And so they always have like really high kind of frequencies and all of this stuff. And we just kind of developed that and kind of tried to make it exist in a more kind of atmospheric kind of style.
Okay.
It's weird. It's piercing, but it's like... I feel like the music is always very not guitar driven.
Definitely not as dominant as it usually is in this kind of music.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. We've kind of finally agreed to we tried to serve the song rather than our instruments.
Yeah. And of course, I mean, probably you've been asked this before, I'm sure, but there was on several websites I checked that you created the band to test the limits of classic pop music ideology. What the hell does that mean?
Basically, Lady Gaga.
Okay.
End of. No. I think I remember years ago when I heard this Lady Gaga record, Art Pop, I was like, holy shit, this, like, if you took Lady Gaga off that record, it's just like the most obnoxious, aggressive dance sounding thing. And I just thought that was very cool that you could do that with modern, contemporary pop music. And I was like, okay, cool. Maybe we can do that with air music and call it pop music. But we're obviously pushing it to an extreme limit and still claiming it to be pop music. We're doing that like Marcel Duchamp, was it? Like where the I'm an artist and I claim it to be.
Yeah.
Art, so I'm an artist and I claim it to be pop music.
Yeah. This is not a guitar, sort of. This is not whatever.
Yeah,
it was Marcel Duchamp. No, what
Yeah. That was the starting point, and it was trying to develop that idea. Obviously, you know, growing up listening to like bands like Nine Inch Nails, where that kind of filtered into it too, and like borrowing soundscapes and textures and kind of that industrial sound, and then trying to kind of structure it within like a pop
format.
I read you guys are from Kerry. Is that Ireland?
yeah, that's me.
Ireland?
Have you been?
No, no. My daughter is there at the moment. Like, she's spending a whole year there. How what's Kerry like? I've never been. So
it is very green. It rains all the time, so it's very green. It's a beautiful part of the world. The whole west coast of Ireland, Kerry included, is gorgeous. I mean, like, even it's in Star Wars and all that shit nowadays.
Right.
But it's stunning. It's like, if you want to go to Ireland, the west coast is the best coast. But in terms of growing up there, it's very rural and... very different to like city life. Yeah,
I imagine.
Yeah, if you're waiting on public transport, it's never going to come. That's Ireland in a nutshell.
So you have to leave. You have to go to Dublin and then eventually to London.
Yes. Yeah. So I was born in Dublin, lived in Dublin, and then my mom had a wild notion to move us to Kerry, and we lived there. And then the second I didn't have to live there anymore, I left. I think I was 17. I was like, see you later. Shut the fuck up. Hey, we're Tane. We are going to play this song called Down. We just released it. I hope you dig it. It's about love and conflict. We cling to this with help. We try to say that love, but it fails. It you.
Sick.
Yeah, before we talk about more about Tain and about the relationship between the two bands of you, maybe let's talk to Alfrey from Taurus, because you're also not from London, from Milton Keynes. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We call it Milk and Beans. No, it's kind of a nasty place, really. There's not a lot of green and stuff. That sounds really nice in Ireland. It's a lot more my type of place.
Exactly.
But there's just kind of roundabouts and a lot of concrete and stuff. But yeah, it's where we all come from.
So did you with Taurus, did you have the similar story? Did you want to destroy anything?
Not really. We sort of, from the beginning, we just sort of wanted to play lots of gigs and try and do as well as we could.
That was it? I mean, when you start a band, you just want to play with your friends, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it started with me sort of actually in my room, just on my own, sort of playing all the instruments, because I play drums and bass and stuff as well. So it was sort of like a one-man band kind of project in my room. And then sort of found Harry and we sort of started collaborating. So Harry's a bass player. And then Jack's only been in the band for like the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm. I'm amazed when I hear your songs, because also on the new record, you just put out your debut album. It just came out in September 13, I think. Every song is a little different. Some sound like 70s hard rock. And then there's, I think, All On Me sounds like a metal tune. And then Overload, that was, to me, I immediately had the Oasis association in the back. I don't know.
Oh,
if
that's
it's,
cool.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's interesting. Our goal has always been to like write songs and sort of, you know, serve the song a bit like you guys, but we do it with like heavy guitars and a lot of power chords.
Yeah,
classic rock.
Yeah, I was brought up on classic rock, basically. That was my thing.
Yeah,
my dad was in a prog rock band from the 80s, and then my mum was a fiddle player, a lot of traditional Irish stuff.
Sick.
So I was definitely, yeah, I was born into like a musical household, luckily. But yeah, I was like a classic rock maniac. And still am, really. Yeah. A lot of
you were
AC/DC.
Saying about AC/DC earlier, right? You're
yeah.
A cover band.
Yeah, I've even started an AC/DC cover band, sort of the Bon Scott era.
Yeah.
Recently, last couple of years, I realised, like, you should definitely embrace that, for sure. Yeah. I was so into it and obsessed with it growing up.
I guess there's always stuff to learn from that. I mean, AC/DC is so simple, so effective. I mean,
yeah.
God damn it. They wrote it so no one else can.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's so many things in life I just keep going back to. I'm like, just keep going back to AC/DC, you know, philosophies and stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, you've always, sometimes you have that, I mean, if I may say, like almost like arrogant sounding style of Liam Gallagher singing, which I really like.
Yeah. Thank you.
I think there's quality to it. Mm. Yeah. To have this sort of sounding like, go fuck yourself.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Because I was never like, I think Harry was more sort of like into Oasis growing up and stuff and that kind of 90s stuff. But I only really got into that kind of stuff when I was like a teenager. All the 90s grungy stoner rock stuff like that. But thank you.
And people can't see, but you're wearing a Rory Gallagher shirt.
Yeah,
and
just another one of those greats, you know, like the, you know, guitar gods.
And it's funny, when I just went to the kitchen, I saw all these donuts, and I thought, you guys had brought them, because I looked up, of course, a torus is a surface of revolution generated by revolving a circle. I had no idea what the hell that means. But basically, a torus ring looks like a donut.
Yeah, yeah. I really wish I was clever enough to sort of like give you a big explanation about that. But yeah, we've looked it up and it's like a three-dimensional space shape thing.
Okay, you had the name before you knew what it meant.
But yeah, we just took a long time to find the name and we just did like band generator stuff and stuff. But we just found it and it looked cool and sounded cool. And that is it. There's not any other story to it.
Yeah. So you guys are playing Headcrash tonight, both of you. I think to explain to the listeners, we're here at Reeperbahn Festival. It's our special edition and millions of people, it seems, are populating Reeperbahn and hundreds of bands literally are playing. And you're playing, I think, one of the smallest venues.
Yeah, it's a cool room. It's very loud in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Some might say.
I mean, Headcrash on Hamburger Berg, it's like a area where you go out, you know, like lots of young kids go out just to drink. Apparently they're closing down at the end of the year and maybe they're reopening, so I guess it's all unsure. It's super tough if you're having a club and you're putting on regular music nights, actually doing cultural events, doing concerts, and it's probably even harder than it used to be some years ago. I mean, I guess in the UK it's not much better. I mean, Matt, what do you say? I mean,
It definitely seems like there's more venues closing down now than there are opening.
Yeah. What I witness is people are just drawn to these big events, you know, like Taylor Swift is coming. I'm gonna spend all my money on Taylor Swift, but I don't care what else is happening. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I find that those big gigs are always kind of mad, like especially even in London, you know, like there was like signs being like on the road, like traffic diversions due to Taylor Swift concert, yeah. You know, sitting in traffic for like 3 hours because Taylor Swift is playing. Yeah. It's kind of mad that someone has that much power on a city.
If people like her music and they like her music, that's fine. I mean, mm-hmm. why would we disagree? But then again, if people just, they only go out, you know, once or twice a year, and people are kind of forgetting the magic that's happening at a live concert. When you're standing really close to a band and the band is on a stage, it's maybe 5 centimeters high. It's just such a different feeling.
Yeah, it's mad to watch. Like I've seen loads of bands that were like, you know, that kind of stage to go from that to transition to like, you know, big festivals and big rooms. I'm always a little bit on the fence of like, kind of hate it when it happens, you know. There's something like, oh, that kind of silly thing of like, I was there when it was cool.
Yeah.
But there is something to that. I think when you with those big concerts, there's so much detachment, you know, because you're so far away. There's so many people. It's just like herding the cattle into this kind of venue. And yeah, I find my issue with all those bigger venues is like I sometimes just feel like I may as well just not be there. Just don't feel like as connected to the music when it's like 50,000 people all in a room together.
But then again, I mean, your music, Tain, I mean, it's a band that was deliberately created not to play in stadiums, right?
I know, right? I don't think with Tain anyway, I feel I never made music to try and impress people, weirdly enough. Like, I just wrote music that I wanted to write and thankfully people are like, hey, this is kind of good. Yeah. I'm like, all right, if you don't like it, sorry. If you do, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Elfie from Taurus, I mean, I guess for you guys it's a different thing. I mean, I can imagine your music up on a really huge stage.
I mean we're kind of the same. I mean, I think you have to do it like that, you know, just like writing music for yourself. I mean, when I first started the project in my room, I was like, finally now I can just sort of write what I want to do. But it was nice to bring the others into it as well. Of course, we're very like ambitious and stuff, but I don't think there's any point in doing it unless you're having fun and kind of, as a band, you're really happy with the music.
You're playing a cover, Britney Spears, Toxic.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
That's the only cover we've done as well. We've never done another cover. It just, I mean, I came up with that riff anyway. And it kind of could be a Taurus song anyway.
Give me up, motherfuckers.
It's getting late.
It's an absolute banger of a song.
It is.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Toxic.
No brainer.
We're into all types of different stuff, you know. A lot of that plastic pop is good.
Yeah.
Good. It's good, like, for songwriting and stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very well structured music.
Yeah.
Very well put together, especially Toxic.
Yeah.
Absolute stomper of a song.
Yeah. Probably written by some Swede, Max Martin or whoever.
Oh my God! Yeah, they got it going on. What's the band? Was it Mike Snow? You know, they haven't really done much for a long time, but they were producers that just used to write everyone's music, and they were like, we can just do it ourselves. And then they just start writing bangers and putting it out as Mike Snow or whatever it is. I think it's Mike Snow, right? They had that song Genghis Khan. They always seem to be just churning out loads of great music and writing everyone's bangers. So
I mean, now it's a different time, I guess, when
ABBA did it, so they they set the bar high.
The Swedes.
Yeah.
Alfie, your debut album just came out, and I mean, the saying is that you only get one chance at recording your debut, and you only get one chance at this first impression that you're making in the world. So how was that for you? Did you really think about that and work on these songs like really long?
Yeah, it was a lot of pressure for sure. I think luckily we wrote a lot of music in lockdown, so luckily we had a lot of stuff to choose from. But it was pretty hard to like pick, you know, out of a few hundred songs or whatever, to pick 12 tracks out of that was quite tricky. So there was a lot of band arguments and stuff like that. And we went through quite a few things as a band. We were like nearly, you know, could have broken up maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, there was just a lot of
like,
tension.
Songs were that good.
There was just a lot of tension and, you know, stuff like that. But we got through it with the album, basically.
Yeah.
So it was a really nice thing. And very lucky that we had the right producer as well.
Oh, yeah. No, cool. I mean, this is a great album. And really, yeah.
Thank you.
Wishing you the best for it. Tane, your album is also coming out in...
January.
January. Okay.
Yeah. We put out, like, two songs that are on the album already down, and there's a track called Coherent that went out with our buddy Rachel from she plays in a band called Cage Fight. But yeah, album's coming out, it's all done, it's all there. January, I think.
And you've put out two albums before, right? Because I couldn't find them on streaming.
But there's an EP and then there was an older album that was very much a bedroom project thing that we kind of started the band and
2018, and we pretty much straight away, it was like record these things and kind of do a bedroom thing and put them out. And so that was that record that came out. We were just like spearheading, wanting to create music and put it out and kind of play shows. Whereas in hindsight, it would have been a lot better move to be a bit more calculated and, you know, approach the situation correct. And take time with it. And so yeah, so this album that we kind of that we're sitting on that's coming out, it was like, you know, the first thing that we recorded that we're like, awesome, this is exactly what we wanted to sound like, this is the thing that we want to show the world, that's like, hey, we're Tain. And so yeah, we spent a lot of time like really kind of scrutinizing and making sure that everything worked and sounded good, and we went to a studio and done it all properly. And yeah, really happy with the results. We kind of got a guy called Wayne Adams, who he is one part of this band called Pepbrick. They're like a really noisy band with Igor Cavalera from Sepultura playing drums. And I heard those records and I was like, who the hell is doing these? They sound great. Yeah. And it turned out it was Wayne, and he does a lot of bands in London. I think he just like that band Green Lung that are huge now. He done their two records. He's got, yeah, a lot of stuff under his belt that I knew. A lot of my friends played in post-punk bands, and I had known he had done all of that stuff. And then I heard the Pepbrick stuff, and I was like, whoever's recording this is the guy that's recording the Tain thing. And then it just turned out that it was Wayne. It was like, sick.
Nice.
Mate, you're in the band, and you're recording it. Great. Make our record sound like your record, pretty much. Well, production-wise.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, we knew Wayne was the right guy. Spent time with him in the studio, and kind of done a lot of like back and forth stuff. It wasn't like, here's 10 days, we're going to write an album. It's very like, I'll see you in another 2 months when I've absorbed all of this.
Okay, and that's kinda interesting.
Yeah.
So you had the song almost finished and then you keep it laying.
Yeah, I'm very like methodical now when it comes to writing songs. Even, yeah, the process of the record that we're putting out, I think, yeah, maybe it was over, I would say 10 months.
Oh, wow.
And it was, yeah, very much like we went in, done a batch of like three. I kind of went home and was like, this sounds too much like a Ministry song. Let's axe that bit, rewrite, rebuild, and probably drove Wayne insane. But in my head, it made perfect sense. And my wallet hated me. But I like to just like analyze it and make sure that, yeah, that it's right. And so that takes a little bit more time.
Yeah.
There's so much in it. Like, I think as we have kind of progressed, we've tried to like, it sounds like a funny thing, to like dial it back a little bit, serve the song, as I said, where it was like always a thing where it's like, okay, I'm the bass player. There's got to be all this bass. There's got to be all this guitar. There's got to be all of everything, because that's the band. And just, yeah, really kind of peeling that back and just kind of making it a lot more functional.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
kind of chill.
Y'all got this on tape? this is going to eat up a lot of tape. This song is called Fear. It's about fears.
We're stars in the clouds.
I looked up Tain, and all I got as a result was whiskey. So.
Oh, yeah. No,
that's a whiskey.
Unfortunately, no reason or connection to us. But yeah, I've seen that. The name, it's such a like nothing name. It was like a joke. One of my favorite TV shows, it was on Adult Swim in the early 2000s. It's kind of like this like really low budget comedy thing called Tim and Eric. Great job. Awesome show. What they always got like loads of other celebrities involved with the show, and there's this one with Paul Rudd. He goes, "Hey Paul, I'm Tain, I can't wait to entertain you," and I goes, "That's a great band name."
It's nice and short, and yeah, it's perfect. The two of you touring together, Tain and Taurus. It's just
Tain and Taurus,
makes sense. Thank you so much for your time. We're almost finished, almost, because I've got this little special thing here.
Oh no, not that.
Oh my god, it's called S. It's
wow. Put it away. Oh no.
What's happening?
Oh my god, if everyone could see it. All right. Guess what it is?
It is what it is. We're asking, usually we're asking bands to improvise, right? And you're not a band, so yeah. I mean, I don't know what the two of you guys are doing. I mean, we're not pressuring you to write a new masterpiece. You can do whatever you want. It's a ukulele and with the keyboards. And
I feel like that's right in your hands.
It's like a doorbell.
Damn, did we get that? He made a joke.
I don't even know if anybody's still listening, but we'll retry anyway.
Now's the time to turn this off. Come on, man, you're making us look bad. Making us sound bad. People can't see this.
You're right.
Love it. Very nice.
Thanks anyway. Thanks
for trying. You got something. Well, give me 10 months on that, and I'll show you a great song. Absolutely.
Matt, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks
Alfie, for having us. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
And see you down the road. Bye bye.
Wicked.
Ciao, ciao.
Das war Nachts halb eins, der Musikpodcast von der Reeperbahn. Falls es euch gefallen hat, folgt uns gerne auf Spotify oder bewertet uns auf Apple Podcast. Bei Fragen oder Anregungen schickt uns gerne eine Mail an nachts@germanwahnsinn.de. Bis zum nächsten Mal.